So we have a really weighty word from children's ministry this morning. It's a good word, and I'm going to receive it. Why are we celebrating our offering before men instead of letting it be between us and God? Yeah, that's really good. Okay. Why are we celebrating offering before men instead of letting it be between us and God? Why? That's from a kid. So it's a question word, I guess. And I usually like interaction when a question is volleyed, but I can tell you why. It's a form of worship. You know, Jenny nailed it when she said it's a form of worship. And I've been spending a lot of time, and this isn't what I'm going to talk about today, or maybe it is, but Deuteronomy 26, the attitude of the heart when it comes to the offering of the Lord, when we offer the first fruits of our increase, what does that look like? And what it looks like is to celebrate Him, one, take the offering to the Levite, the first fruits of the increase, give it to the poor. You know, in Israel, the poor never lacked for really anything. They always had food. They always had clothes. They never lacked for anything. And then remember the testimony. So they would recite the testimony of Israel, the history of Israel. Then they would lay down their offering, and they did that publicly. And so I'm really excited that we're celebrating the offering in front of one another, and we're talking about the offering because as a result of that, the testimony, too, of what God is doing in our midst, the increase of our finances is becoming evident, and we're telling stories out loud about it, and I'm really excited, Jenny, about your testimony, you and Glenn. We watched your life during that time. And I'm going to tell you what, they worshiped the Lord the whole time. They didn't fall into a place of disappointment. They just honored the Lord, and they just believed that He can because He said He can. And that was the attitude that they went into it, and then boom, blessing starts to flow in their life. Come on. Like, let's just celebrate Him for a second just because of that. Just because of that alone. Yeah. Yeah. So what I have on my heart, a word for this house, I feel like it's a prophetic exhortation more than anything. It would be really fun if it was a 25-minute prophetic word. Wouldn't that be cool? You know, just fun. What I announced the title of this sermon as is increase, because in 2020, if you guys have been really in prayer, in the presence of the Lord, listening to the prophets over 2020, you'll notice that there's just an increase, man. Things are blowing up in the spirit realm. All kinds of yeses to just about everything. God wants to prosper us, spirit, soul, and body. And what I'm also noticing is that you are seeing into the spirit realm more than you've ever seen in the spirit realm. And you're pulling that reality into this one. Really super amazing and really super key in the spirit. So as I was worshiping and just praying this morning, I looked over the crowd and I saw the first thing I saw was hunger, just an absolute increase of hunger in you. We've noticed this in just the last, I want to say, like 3 or 4 months, super big increase of hunger, desire for revelation knowledge. And then I saw big owl eyes. And if you ever looked at an owl, they're relentlessly focused on one thing. And so when you move them, they just kind of like that. They stay fixed on the thing that they're looking at. You can't distract them. And that's what I saw you doing. And I can prove that just by the testimonies that have been coming out. I have seen you pray for the sick, and I've seen them recover. That doesn't happen with natural eyes. You have to see into the realm of the spirit and pull that reality into this one in order for that to happen. It's proof that you're hungry. We've seen people get filled with the Holy Spirit, healed, saved. Just in the last some weeks, we've seen that. There's a step change increase in the spirit realm right now. And that hunger that you have for more is the catalyst to launch you into the things of the Lord in 2020. So here's what I love about this season that we're in is Jesus nailed it perfectly. And this is you. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. And this is John 5 and verse 19. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater things than these, that you may marvel. If for any other reason, it's that we would marvel at him. Have you ever prayed for somebody and they're just like, what? They just... I've prayed for people that have no grid for who Jesus is, just boom, in the streets and or wherever, in stores. I've seen people get healed just, and they just don't know what to think about it. They just get blown away. And that's to marvel. And that's just his goodness right there. There's a ton of expectancy in the spirit realm. A ton of understanding in the spirit realm and doorways that are open in the spirit realm. I would tell you more than ever before, what I'm seeing personally as I'm seeking the Lord is I am seeing clearly doorways into the supernatural, but understanding is pulling it into the natural. So it's the understanding of the Lord that makes that reality pull, that brings that reality into this one. And here's where I'm going to have to stick really close to the notes. I want to give you three keys that I see in Scripture that literally grounds us in what he's doing and how we can bring that reality into this one. One is unity. And you know that our theme for this year is until we are one. I also actually see this in business too. The thematic goal of the company I work for is called Unify. So it's not just, you know, the kingdom of God isn't just in the church, it's in the world as well. In fact, I see more evidence of the supernatural and the kingdom in the world than I see in the natural. We see it in arts and film. We see people giving their hearts to Jesus and making a huge difference in the world in just a short time. I personally, Shannon and I, have testimonies of things that are going on in business that just blow your mind. I can't wait to share just little tidbit testimonies of increase financially, wealth, gifts that are being given to us through just favor, the favor of the Lord. So it's an amazing season that we're in. But unity, here's the piece about unity. We talk a lot about how to become one. And what we have done and what I'm going to challenge us all to do is let's think differently. Like, let's take the lid off for a minute and let's really think about and examine unity for a minute. We have practiced clearing in this house, and that's good, and we want to do that. Forgiveness is absolutely, forgiveness and repentance, absolutely critically important. But how do we live unoffendable? So that we don't ever actually get offended in the first place, Like, what does that look like? Jesus said, I gave you my glory so that you would be one. And that's a key. That's the underpinning of unity in the body of Christ, is to seek his glory, to seek his presence, to live in a state of joy at all times. And so what I see us doing, and it's kind of funny, like we're growing and we're transitioning. Revelation knowledge is starting to increase, where we understand how to not to live in joy, not to try to get into a place of joy. It's actually to live in the joy that already exists around us. It's really amazing. I walk down, and it increases as we get around one another, but I walk downstairs today, and you're already in prayer, and I can hear it all the way from upstairs, and all of a sudden, my joy goes from a 5 to a 10 plus, man. Yeah. Come on. And just the gladness, the anointing of the presence of Jesus just comes upon me. And that's just apprehending that which we already have, that which we that already exists in the spirit realm. And so what I see us doing is we're getting there. Bless us, we're getting there, but we're still trying to get into that place of joy. We're asking for something that already exists in the spirit realm. I promise you, absolutely promise you. And so I can tell you that joy, hope, and gladness is the seedbed of revelation knowledge. That's where we live and move and have our being, in that place of joy. Anything different than that is not from him. We can mourn, and I have very recently. Many, many of you know my story. My brother took his life 5 months ago. And we were, and the family was in a deep place of mourning, but there was an underpinning of joy that I can't explain. Oh my gosh. And if it weren't for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, I would have not processed that correctly with the Lord. I was packing it up and putting it away. It's how I dealt with loss in my life, is I just move on. But he didn't let me, because I spend enough time with him in the secret place, that he waited for a moment in my life when I was ready to receive. And then he visited me all the way through the night season, man. He started unpacking things that I can't even tell you what it was. But when I woke up the next morning, my heart was super tender towards my brother. And I was willing to open up the doors of my heart and let Jesus in to my heart. And when I sat down in the secret place, he brought me into a room. It was an open vision, one of the most impacting visions I have ever had awake. And he started unpacking things in my remembrance of Dave. And so what I didn't remember is the last 10 years of his life, which wasn't who he was. I only remembered the good stuff of his life. And so when he unpacked that with me, it's what I walked out with. And then what I walked in with was just pouring out, saying, I'm sorry that I wasn't enough for him. But I walked out knowing he was enough for Dave, my brother. Yeah, come on. And he gave his life to Jesus too, 2 years before he took his life. Amazing story. Has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about today. Come on. I know. Yeah. Come on. Love it. So the glory, walking in the glory presence of the Lord, is how we walk in unity. Iris Ministries, who is, I'm trying to remember, Heidi Baker. So here's another great story, is that Heidi Baker has a massive ministry. How many of you know Heidi Baker? Okay. She's amazing, just pasted with the Holy Spirit, just walks in the just whatever. But her ministry team was just infighting all the time, just all hung up on issues, offended, and she didn't know what to do. So she said, all right, so here's the new rule. You don't even start work until you've been in prayer for 2 hours. Like, don't even, every one of her ministry team, don't come out of the secret place in 2 hours. And so everybody went into the secret place. Everybody came out, and guess what happened? Weren't offended anymore. Unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. Come on. That's a good testimony. So, you know, we'll spend a lot less time in Matthew 18 if we spend a lot more time in the secret place. Yeah? Come on. Because it's not fun to be there. I'm telling you what. Yeah. You know, there's a scripture, and I can't remember the address. I think it's in Colossians, but it really says, be tolerant towards one another. And it really tells us that if we can do that, we don't have to worry about the other stuff, about getting offended. A lot of times we think we have to go and, hey, I was really super offended at you, and here's what I was offended at you. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and actually tell you they were offended at you for something you didn't know that you did? Yeah? I mean, those are the kind of things that you probably don't need to tell people about. Yeah. Come on, right? It's the simple gospel. It's not the hard one. He had to make it easy for us. I promise you. It's because we need it simple. We complicate things. He doesn't. Don't let me forget to talk about introspection. Somebody call it out if I forget to say it, but I don't want to miss this point. And this is a key right here, the prayerful life. And so number two is prayerfulness. That the prayerfulness of Christ is upon us at every given time of the day, day and night. It's our portion. He says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day. Boom, right there. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled request before God with overflowing gratitude. That's the heart. Thankfulness, gratitude. Being in a place, one of the first things I like to do when I sit down in the secret place in the morning, boom, I hit the worship, and then I just start thanking Him. Just a place of thankfulness, and then from there, enter into deep worship and prophetic prayer. Sometimes, like, you know, he has actually told me, you have not because you ask not. I don't ask enough in prayer. I really just love to spend time with the Lord in His presence because I like what I walk out with, you know. It takes a long time to look this good in the secret place. I'm just messing with you, but it's absolutely true. Yeah, it's the version of Jesus that makes all the difference in our life, the power that we walk in. He wants us to walk in character, power, and anointing. None of those things should be any less than the other. Hungry for the supernatural, hungry for the gifts of the Spirit, absolutely hungry for those things. Let me tell you what, your character will never be tested if you don't have something to test it against. Your character will never be tested unless you have something to test it against. So if we're waiting if I'm waiting for my character to get good enough to walk in miracles, signs, and wonders, I'll never have a character that's been tested. If I didn't get the same thing with finances. So here's what Jesus said about finances. He says, yeah, finances, man, it'll kill you. That's what he said. It's easier for a rich man to pass through the eye of a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, the king's domain. He said, it's nearly impossible. He says, but I'm going to give you more. Like his promise was to bless us with the very thing that would kill us, right? And then he said, with persecution. So what does that mean? The very blessings that we are called to walk in are the very things that'll kill us. But we have to pursue them. Because we have to steward the character required to walk in that kind of blessing. Yeah? in my work life, which I don't talk much about, but I love business, and I see the kingdom of heaven in business. I love it, and have been in high business and high leadership for many, many years. And so I get the privilege of serving, because that's really what it is that when you're in high business, you lose yourself and you become a leader. You lay down your life completely for that which you serve. No different in the kingdom of heaven. Our lives are not our own. And I want to tell you this, is that your life is not your own unless you want it to be. And some of us, and all of us in one way, shape, or form haven't learned how to walk that out. But what it is that I'm going to serve whether I feel like it or not. My feelings have no right, unless I let them, to influence what he said I am to do and I'm to walk in. So in business, I get to see the best version of people and the worst version of people. And the more that's at stake, the better or worse people become. And so I get to see what happens when character is tested, when people don't have a good foundation of character in their life. And as soon as blessing comes, or as soon as a very big financial deal comes to play, you're either going to win or you're going to lose in that moment. What are you going to do? And the kingdom of God is very much the same. And here's a key. You're never going to be perfect. You're never going to be enough, but do it anyway. But do it anyway. And here's another key, is my ability to be humble will determine whether the grace will flow after the blessing. Hopefully that made sense. Is that humility, God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. If we win, the first thing we have to deal with is pride. And then we have to humble ourselves, because grace only flows in that way. So I've seen a lot of people fall because they've refused to humble themselves after a great win. And then right after a great win, they get off and they start actually pursuing the win instead of Jesus, the giver of the win. It's the challenge of life. But I'm also going to tell you, even in that thing, keep going, right? When you've fallen into a place of pride, boom, I can raise, all three hands to tell you that it's happened, not just a few times, but we all can testify that it's happened over and over and over again. The difference is that wisdom will tell you to get up over and over and over again. Once you've fallen, get back up, get back up. I only have 5 minutes, so I have to choose the two things that I'm going to say. and then I want to do some activation. It's going to be a really short one today. Introspection. Thank you. Yeah. Introspection's an idol. And so here's what I saw. Introspection's an idol. Let's look at that as the idol. It's a high thing. It's a lofty thing. In other words, in the body of Christ, I didn't grow up in the body of Christ. I didn't grow up in the church, so I see things just from a different perspective. But there is a theology that we have to look inward in order to solve the outward things in life. And that is actually the lie of the enemy. It's a lie. Jesus, he said, we are new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's one of many, many scriptures that gives us permission to believe what he said to be true about us rather than what we choose to say is true about us. One of the biggest thieves of identity is is sitting in introspection. What could I have done differently? What could I have done differently? And then disappointment sets in, and disappointment is the mother of invention or depression. It's the mother of depression. Okay, and if you want to pet the tiger for long enough, suicide becomes the next. That's what happens. That's where introspection comes from. So I'm giving you permission in the spirit realm today to forget about who you're not. Come on. Yep. And just believe in who he said you are. There's an anointing in the room right now to forget about the former things. Right now, there's an anointing in the room for that. So I'm going to take a chair, and this is where I'm just going to have to end this and see if this is it. This is the old season, and this is the door right here. And the word I got from the Lord this morning is this, for this house. Believe that you can. Do what you believe you can until you can. Boom, drop the mic moment. Believe that you can. Do what you believe you can until you can. That's scriptural, man. Fake it till you make it. Yeah. Just say yes. Now, here is the prophetic part of the, here's the prophetic part of this thing, is that what is happening in the supernatural is this is the year of the mouth. And so what is happening in the spirit realm is you are seeing more than you've ever seen before. I promise you, I saw you this morning without eyes. Like, so how does this work? And it's right here in Proverbs. And this is really fun because Shannon said, I woke up this morning and I really got rocked by Proverbs 8. And I already had Proverbs 8 written down. You know, it's like, let's talk about Proverbs 8 in this house. Is that Proverbs 8 talks about where wisdom's at, where it happens, where it's at. And so to paraphrase, wisdom stands at the place where pathways merge. The entrance of every portal, right here. And it stands there ready to impart understanding, okay? So Jesus, what I saw Jesus do is I only do what I see the Father do. So what happens is he would reach into the spirit realm, into the kingdom, and pull that reality into this one, and he flowed in a place of wisdom, the ability to understand. That word is also associated with the word apprehend. So it's not our probably Western mindset is that understanding is that, oh, I get it. You know, I read it, I understand it. That isn't what it is. What it is I now have an ability to apprehend what is in the spirit realm because I see it, and now I understand that I have to pull it into this reality through my understanding. Okay? That's wisdom. And so here is the promise of what happens when you do that. If you wait at wisdom's doorway, longing to hear a word for every day, joy. Boom, joy. Joy will break forth within you as you listen for what I'll say. It's that easy. It's that simple. And so two things happened today. I got two words, and it's really fun when this happens. Jack had a word about one doorway to another from the head to the heart. And so as he was given that word, I saw you here and you going through here, right here. So that's the old season. This is you, and this is called decision, okay? Old season. This is you, decision. Old season, if you're an introspective person, is that you walk out of the old season And then a voice of the dead man calls you back to that old season. You didn't learn everything you thought you needed to learn about the season that you were in. You missed it. That is the sound of the enemy. And I don't give much attention. I don't even talk about the enemy this or the enemy that. It makes no difference because he's all about advancement. If you listen to the sound of heaven, it never has to do with what the enemy is doing. I promise you. You don't even need to understand the strategies of the enemy or even give voice to it or think about it. All you have to do is understand what he's doing, which is advance. He's always thinking that way. And so here we are. There's the old season. It's still, you know, the dead man is always trying to talk. Everything you didn't do. Half of the time, you can't remember what you did do because you forgot the testimony. I mean, come on, right? So anyway, this is called decide right here. Okay, and every time we choose to walk through the portal of wisdom, understanding, we have to decide. And guess what that word means? Some associations, word associations. Adam, what is it? You're not, you did the other day, decide is associated with homicide, suicide, genocide. It means to die. It just means to die. And so here I am at a point of decision. Now, can wisdom touch me at this point? Yeah. Die and start to walk towards the door of understanding. Because this is where he speaks right here. This is where he speaks right here. Okay, over here, you come to a place to where you haven't really walked through it. You got to deal with the cares of this world. And that word cares actually means divided mind or two minds separated. I have two different opinions about the same thing or multiples of opinions about the same thing. Well, what he says is forget about that. All of your decisions walk through this point and then wisdom begins to come. Understanding, apprehension, a word of apprehension begins to flow into our lives. But the reality is this, is that we will never get there unless we walk through the door. So this is you, boom, with owl eyes, you've laid a hold of something. And let me tell you what, in the last 12 months, I see this with the eyes of my spirit, the Lord has told you where you're supposed to be in this season. Every one of you probably have a solution for this season that you live in right now. You may have forgot. But this is how you remember joy. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to get drunk in the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what, he's pouring out the wine of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' first miracle was not by, listen, he turned water into wine. He turned water into wine. And this is a really rough word for the religious spirit, is he wants to intoxicate the bride. Why is that? Because he knows that if we walk in joy, we understand who he is. We forget about the stuff that we think we're not. And we just walk into our purpose and destiny. And we just stay in this place. And when we fall down, we just keep going. Rinse and repeat. That's all it is. Rinse and repeat.